Hi, I'm Mindy, and I'm on Team Parents.
Hi, I'm Marshall, and I'm on Team Kids.
I'm Zach, and I'm on Team Parents.
And I'm Elena, and I'm on Team Kids. And this is the Kids vs. Parents Trivia Podcast.
We have our very favorite guests back today, Uncle Mike and Cousin Savannah. Say hi, Mike and Savannah.
Hello, thanks for having us. Savannah, are you excited to talk about one of your favorite subjects?
Yeah.
Yes, and Savannah, what is that subject?
Toys.
We are asking questions about toys today. Marshall, are you excited?
Yeah.
The reason we are asking questions about toys is because it is winter holiday time, and almost all winter holidays include some sort of toy giving.
Savannah, I expect you to get them all right because you have way too many toys.
No, I do not.
Yes, we also have a lot of toys here in our house.
We have toys that we don't use anymore. And we're too old for, so we have way too much toys.
Yeah, that's a debatable topic. Lena, how are you feeling about toys?
I'm not really sure what the questions are completely about, so I might get them. I might do really well. I might do really badly. I don't know.
Okay, Marshall and I put the questions together, and these questions have a lot to do with types of toys, kind of history of toys, what toys have been popular through the years. What toys are popular now? And a lot of the answers to questions are names of toys, but not all the answers are the toy itself. So we are going to ask the kids 5 questions in the first round and the parents 5 questions the first round. They start easier and go harder this time. They don't always, but this time they do. First round is worth 1 point each. Second round is worth 2 points each. Marshall's going to ask the kids questions and I will ask the parents' questions. Any questions before we start? Any last words?
No, I think we know the gist of it.
The drill. All right. And as always, we are going to put 10 seconds of music after every question so people can answer as they listen and play along with us. Marsh, do you want to start asking the questions?
Okay. Kids, question 1. What is the name of Barbie's boyfriend?
I think it's Ken. Savannah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's Ken.
That is correct. The answer is Ken.
I did a lot of research while I was looking up these questions because toys are so, so fascinating. I think if I was to start my own spinoff podcast now, it would be just giving the history of all of these toys every single episode. So Ken is Barbie's boyfriend, and he was created way back in 1959. So Barbie had someone to accompany her and a doll that maybe the boys would like to play with as well.
I played with a lot of Ken. I don't know if you remember it, Mindy, but you had a lot of Barbies. I had a Ken or two and played along with you.
Yeah, I was a big, big fan of Barbie. Zach, I have to imagine you didn't play with Ken a ton.
No, I didn't. I was an only child. And so as an only boy child, we didn't have a lot of Barbies in the house.
I remember Ken would lose his clothes a lot. So we would have to put Ken in Barbie's clothes. I don't know if you remember that, Mindy.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a lot of Ken clothes. And so we had to improvise.
You couldn't get a lot of Ken accessories. You just had to get the Barbie accessories. So Ken made do.
He did. Absolutely.
We ready for first parents question?
I am. I'm ready.
Let's do it, Mike.
These questions start pretty easy. All right. I think you should be able to get this. Zach and Mike, which toys invented in 1993 by Ty Warner were marketed by the creator as small understuffed animals affordably priced for those on an allowance?
I know the answer to this, Zach. Do you know the answer to this?
Those on an allowance, small understuffed. I mean, my only guess, I think, would be Beanie Babies.
That is my answer. I believe it is Beanie Babies.
It is absolutely Beanie Babies. Yes. 1993, Ty Warner. You've seen Ty, the little Ty tag, Ty, right? Beanie Babies, which in fact are still around because Elena, you bought one of these this morning. while we were out.
Yeah, as a Christmas gift for one of my friends.
Yeah, so Beanie Babies are still a thing. They are not the investment that maybe those of us in the 90s thought they once would be.
They didn't work out the way I think some people plan their retirements.
Wait,
on.
That's what a Beanie Baby is? They're like the stuffed animals with the little beans in them?
Yeah, and the big eyes. They have big eyes now. They didn't used to have big eyes.
Right.
They do now.
That's a new creation.
Oh, okay.
I cannot imagine a Beanie Baby without big eyes. That seems horrifying.
We'll have to show you.
The main one I remember is the Princess Diana Memorial Beanie Baby.
Well, and we had family members who were like collector people, so we definitely were into the Beanie Baby collection. And I think SNL and like Studio C and almost every sketch comedy has some sort of like sketch about like someone who invested in Beanie Babies and like did not pay off. All right, we ready for question two?
Yeah.
Okay. What brand of collectible small plastic toys started selling in 2014, appearing most frequently as foods?
Small plastic foods.
Okay, I know Elena has an entire little bin full of these things. I don't know if you guys collect these. Savannah, do you have a bunch of little toys that are often like foods? Do you know the answer?
Ooh. I think Sophia has them. Not really anymore.
I know it. I forgot its name. It's
Shopkins. What did you say, Savannah?
Shopkins.
Yeah, Shopkins.
Yes, that is totally correct. Shopkins.
Yes, Shopkins. Shopkins are the new teeny tiny toy, I think, of this generation.
Yeah.
Lena had a lot of Shopkins. You love to put them up in lines and display them everywhere when you were a little bit younger.
They're fun.
They are fun. Shopkins are very fun. Parents question two. This is a little bit of a throwback again to the 90s. So, Zach and Mike, name the handheld digital pet created in Japan in 1996.
Oh, Mike, did you have one of these?
I did. I had one of these. I also had kind of the knockoff version. So I'm gonna say, I believe the one that Mindy is looking for is Tamagotchi, but I was more of a Gigapet
person. See, I had to defer to you because I had Gigapet in my mind and I was trying to remember the original. Yeah, I think you're right. Tamagotchi. Yeah.
Tamagotchi.
Yes. I don't know if the Gigapet was invented in Japan. Tamagotchi is the name brand that I was looking for, but Gigapets were also cool. So Tamagotchis, a little info on Tamagotchis, they broke onto the scene in 1996 and they literally were around for 2 years and they were banned from many schools, which didn't help the sales. And then they were quickly replaced by the Furby.
A little Google research, Gigapets were created in 1995. So just a couple years later in Chicago. So that was the American knockoff.
No, a couple years earlier then, because Tamagotchis were created in 1996.
Oh,
interesting. We'd have to look more into that. Yeah, I'm reading that Gigapets were created in 1995.
Well, I got this from like a toy website, so I'm not totally sure like the exact like when it was created and how long it took to market and everything. So I don't know which came first. Right about the same time.
For Savannah's birthday last year, I actually got her a Gigapet. They're still around.
Oh, they're still around. Tamagotchis are not.
Gigapets. Tamagotchis are not. You can find them on like eBay and stuff. The old original one.
Well, as long as you didn't get her a Furby, because those things are terrifying.
No, I did not.
Good. That's good. All right, kids, question three.
Okay, this is multiple choice. Which president was the teddy bear named after? A, George Washington, B, Barack Obama, C, Abraham Lincoln, or D, Theodore Roosevelt.
I knew this one without the multiple choice. It's Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that is right. It is Theodore Roosevelt.
So a nickname for Theodore is Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes, and he's also known as Teddy Roosevelt. And I learned a little bit about why. Mike or Zach, do you know why the teddy bear was named after Teddy Roosevelt?
I don't.
So Teddy Roosevelt was known, and you guys know, Teddy Roosevelt is in the Night at the Museum movies. He like rides a big horse. Robin Williams played him.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was a pretty avid hunter. And there was a point where he was out hunting, and he was bear hunting, and he could not find a bear. And when you're the president and you're with a bunch of people hunting with you and you can't find a bear to shoot, some of his assistants went and found a bear and tied it to a tree for him to shoot. And so Teddy Roosevelt came back and was like, I'm not going to shoot a bear tied to a tree. So that became news. And there was a political cartoon where there is a bear tied to a tree. You can Google it. And Teddy Roosevelt is like refusing to shoot the bear. And a toy maker named Morris Mitchum in Brooklyn took this opportunity and created a bear named the Teddy Bear to commemorate the story of Teddy Roosevelt not shooting a bear that someone tied to a tree for him to shoot.
That's fascinating. I like him a little bit better now.
Yeah. We also can thank him for the National Park System.
Yes, that is true.
We like him for that, too.
Yeah, he was an avid outdoorsman, Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah.
Wait, for what?
For the National Park System.
What's that?
So that's where they keep a certain amount of land. There's state parks that are owned by the state, and the state kind of keeps them up, and you can go visit them and pay the state to get in there. And then there's the National Park System. So like you guys have been to Arches National Park and Zion's National Park. Those are national parks where the whole federal government keeps those parks nice and where other people can't build on them or do other things. And they will keep those lands nice and preserved for everyone to enjoy them. That's what the National Park System is.
And then there's like city parks and stuff where you can just go and you don't have to pay.
Yes. All right. Parents question 3. So again, you guys are getting the older toy questions. Teddy bear is an older toy question too. But this is a bit of an older toy, but also is still played with now. Which toy was invented and developed in 1949 by George Lerner, who, as a child, would often take vegetables from his mother's garden, and using fruits and vegetables as facial features, he would make dolls for his younger sisters to play with. Which toy was invented in that way?
This sounds like Mr. Potato Head. Like maybe they chose to go with the starchier version of the vegetables and created Mr. Potato Head. Mike?
That would be my guess as well.
That is right.
Awesome.
That is right. Yes. So George Lerner, as a kid, he had some younger siblings and they didn't have a ton of money. So he would make dolls out of the vegetables and then he marketed it and it became Mr. Potato Head.
So was he selling these vegetable creations in the first place?
So actually, it first started where they weren't selling the potato body at all. They would just sell the like eyes and nose and mouth little pieces, and you would go get a potato, and you would put them into the potato.
Oh.
And that became like problematic, and parents were like, but we need to eat the potatoes. So then they sold like the potato body with it.
That actually makes a lot of sense as a toy. We'll just sell you all these parts and you put it in your home potato. And now you have this little potato doll.
Yeah. So that's how it started.
Oh, that's cool.
There you go. There's a little history of Mr. Potato Head.
And now it's not a potato anymore. It's like a plastic thing.
Plastic potato.
Now everything's plastic.
No vegetables.
Very few of your toys these days are made of vegetables or
none
starches.
Of them. Kids, question 4. Which fidget toy was originally designed and invented in 1975, but rose in popularity 46 years later in the spring of 2021 during the COVID-19 pandemic after a TikTok video of a monkey playing with this toy went viral?
So this is let me interpret that a little bit. It's a very popular toy. It was actually invented 46 years ago, but a few years ago in 2021, There was a TikTok video of a monkey playing with it, and now this toy is everywhere.
Do you have a guess, Amanda?
Poppet?
That's my best guess.
Yes, it is a poppet. And Elena, and that is why everybody plays with poppets now.
Oh, because
of that TikTok
video. I did not know that.
It's very adorable. You should Google it.
Samantha has a lot of poppets. Uh-huh. You're a poppet fan, right?
Same, yeah. We also have a lot of poppets.
Interesting. I'm curious now about what 46-year-old poppets look like.
So after a bit of research, it was invented 46 years ago, but it wasn't really marketed well 46 years ago. And there's like a whole history of like the company that bought it, and then they kind of marketed it again recently. And this monkey playing with it on the TikTok video, it is adorable. It really made it go viral.
I always assumed the early origins of the poppet were those pop top lids on the top of your foods. You could click back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are fun.
And now, if you didn't know, there's like poppet fidget spinners and poppet keychains and stuff.
Yeah, those are also really fun.
Parents, question 4. All right, this is a question about Play-Doh. And it is multiple choice. So, Mike and Zach, the compound used for Play-Doh was originally used for what household purpose? Was it A, filling cracks in broken tile, B, cleaning wallpaper, C, keeping fruits and vegetables fresh, or D, as an aid for starting fires?
Trying to think what it would be the most useful for. I mean, it feels like something that is sticky, but not... won't actually adhere to something. So I think maybe the wallpaper.
Yeah, I would say it's either A or B, but B sounds more real. I don't know if it would fill cracks.
All right,
that's a B.
We're going with cleaning wallpaper.
All right, you guys saw through my decoy answers. It is B, cleaning wallpaper.
Right.
So this is fascinating. Play-Doh modeling compound started out as wallpaper cleaner in the 1930s. And Joe McVicker had and sold this compound, and he made it. Maybe he made it. I'm not sure if he made it or not, but he sold it. It was his business. So he learned from his sister-in-law, who was a teacher, that modeling clay was really hard for little hands to manipulate, which is true. Actual modeling clay is really difficult for like preschool kids and younger grades. So he sent this squishy cleaning product to her, and she was like, this is amazing. This is perfect. And he started to market it as Play-Doh, essentially, for kids. And it just so happened at the same time, vinyl wallpaper was coming on the scene. So they really didn't need wallpaper cleaner so much anymore. You could just like clean it with cleaner. So he started marketing this as a kid's product for making art, and it really caught on. So first, Play-Doh was a wallpaper cleaner, and they sold it, but they only sold it in white, and it took a while to like have colors, and it was kind of an interesting history of Play-Doh.
Well, I appreciate it, because modeling clay is an absolute terror to clean off of things, and Play-Doh is much easier to clean up as a dad.
Yeah, because I use Play-Doh sometimes at school, and I never knew that it actually used as a cleaning product.
Yeah, modeling clay is really not for little kids. No. Play-Doh is perfect, surprisingly enough.
Play-Doh is great for kids.
And will apparently clean your walls.
So, nice job, Joe McVicker, who figured this out for us. Thank you. Kids, question 5.
Okay, Elena, I think you'll like this question. One of the early interactive dolls released in 1935 would weather diapers after being given a drink of water. What was this doll called? I have multiple choice. A, Tammy Tinkle, B, Betsy Wetsy, C, Oopsie Olive, or D, Penny Piddle.
My first question is, why does it exist?
I have no idea.
I think people wanted their kids to train in being a parent. And so here's a baby doll that will wet itself. And they had baby dolls that would cry.
Yeah, I don't know if this doll cried, but there was many dolls that like really let you kind of act like a mom. Savannah, do you know what these dolls are called? That
you have a guess?
Give them a drink and they'll wet?
The modern version is called a baby alive.
Oh, but that is true.
Yes.
This is baby alive's ancestor.
Yeah. Do you have any guess?
Do you want me to see the...
It's one of the ones that he listed. You want? I would say them again.
A, Tammy Tinkle. B, Betsy Wetsy. C, Oopsie Olive. Or D, Penny Piddle.
I don't know.
Elena?
I'm going to guess A. Just a random guess.
A, Tammy Tinkle? Okay, it is B, Betsy Wetsy.
That's the worst name and the worst toy.
Betsy Wetsy was around for a really long time. They produced Betsy Wetsys from the 1930s all the way up until the 1980s. And I did have a Betsy Wetsy. I think it was an old one. I think it was one of Mom's or something.
50 yeah. years this doll was around?
Yep.
Wow.
I only know the answer to this because there's a monologue in Addams Family Values. So the second Addams Family where I forget the actress's name, but she goes on a monologue and talks about Betsy Wetsy.
Yeah, Betsy Wetsy is an icon of dolls. And like, I think the generation right before us, like every girl had a Betsy Wetsy is my understanding. I just had an old one, but yeah, Betsy Wetsy.
Joan Cusack.
Joan Cusack's character. Yeah, that was great.
She goes on a monologue about Betsy Wetsy.
All right. Last parents question in round one. This question is about the Slinky. So the Slinky was invented in and has been officially proposed to be the official toy of which state? Is it A, California, B, Pennsylvania, C, Texas, or D, Georgia? Where was the Slinky invented? And they love it so much that someone proposed it would be their official state toy.
I can and will take a guess, but it's really a guess. The Slinky feels like a Pennsylvanian toy, Mike.
Yeah, that's as good as it. Yeah, in Amish country, you know, they're walking around with Slinkies all the time. I don't know. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Just it's an industrial state. A lot of it's, maybe it's based on the concept of a spring.
Yes, that is actually right.
Yeah, that's 100% correct. Actually, Zach, in 1943, three men in Philadelphia observed a torsion spring fall off a table and roll around on the deck of cramp shipyards. And thinking that there could be a toy in this, the men borrowed $500, experimented with materials, ran tests, and produced 400 units of the toy. The men's names were Richard James, Coleman Barber, and Dylan Gettig. So Betty James, Richard James's wife, came up with the name The Slinky, and then Richard and Betty from then on like totally marketed The Slinky. They produced it in Pennsylvania for years and years, decades and decades, in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania. And recently, The Slinky brand in 2020 was purchased by Just Play, and they are keeping the production in Hollidaysburg as well. It went away from there for a while, but now it's like back, and like this is like a Pennsylvania and Hollidaysburg toy, like made in America for decades and decades. That is the Slinky.
Cool. So kind of still made in its hometown, very kind of rooted in its origins.
Yeah, and exactly what you said, like it's an industrial area, they have a lot of springs. That's where the Slinky was invented.
All right, interesting.
That's the end of round one. Zach, you've been keeping score for us, right?
We've got a score. Kids 4 points, parents 5.
Ooh, parents, you know your toys.
Yeah, we're doing better than I thought, Zach.
We got three decades on the kids, so.
I was hoping they would just all be about Ninja Turtles.
What? Why?
We'll hold on to round two for that hope.
Oh, man. I should have included some Ninja Turtles. I didn't, Mike. Sorry. I know that Ninja Turtles are your one true toy love.
Yeah, there's no pizza shooter in question. I remember I had a pizza shooter.
But are Ninja Turtles even a toy?
Oh, there were so many Ninja Turtles toys.
Yep, they're just like plastic figures of people from a show.
And they were great. And there was a thing that shot pizzas across the room.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fun toy.
Yes. You got shot by a pizza or two growing up.
I was shot by many a pizza from the Ninja Turtle pizza shooter.
Wait, was it an actual pizza?
No, more plastic toys. Little plastic discs. A little
bit. Oh, yeah, yeah, those things?
Yeah.
All right, that's the end of round one.
Round two.
All right, here we are in round two. Marshall has the first question for kids.
Okay, kids, question one of round two. This is multiple choice. Which toy company manufactures both Barbies and Hot Wheels?
I'm going to go ahead and do the multiple choice because these are a little hard to pronounce. So kids, which toy company manufactures both Barbie and Hot Wheels? So you're going to have to envision like the name on the package, okay? Is it A, Fisher-Price, B, Hasbro, C, Mattel, or D, Takara Tomy? Have you seen any of those names on Barbie or Hot Wheels?
I don't recognize any of those names, but I don't really have any Barbies anymore. I would assume Savannah would know more about that than me. So, Savannah, what do you think?
C.
Mattel?
Yes.
Yeah, that is correct. Mattel.
Good job, Savannah.
Yeah, Mattel is one of the most famous toy makers, and they make Barbie and Hot Wheels. And it was founded in the 1940s by Ruth and Elliot Handler, who invented the Barbie. And they also make Hot Wheels. So it is the largest toy company in the world. And just the Hot Wheel division could be considered the fifth largest toy company in the world today. Wow.
Judging by our basement, I think we helped that cause. Our basement full of Hot Wheels.
I collected them, okay?
Yeah, not too long ago, I actually forced Savannah to watch the Barbie documentary with me all about the history of Barbie. We know our Barbie.
Yeah, Savannah, that was pretty savvy knowledge. Way to go. I'm impressed. And it's because now we know your dad forced you to watch a Barbie documentary. Way to go.
I would never have known that.
Really? I would like known because like I've heard Mattel before.
Yeah, it's on a lot of commercials. Ready for parents question six?
Ready.
First question of round two. All right. This question is dedicated to my friend Daniel, who got mad at me for not including a Pez question in the candy episode. So I figured I could throw it in with toys. Yes? Figure that makes sense. So, all right, Daniel, here's your Pez question. Zach and Mike, who was the first licensed cartoon character to appear on a Pez dispenser in 1958? Was it A, Bugs Bunny, B, Wonder Woman, C, Betty Boop, or D, Popeye?
I have a question. Who's Betty Boop?
Oh, Betty Boop's hard to explain. You just have to know Betty Boop if you saw Betty Boop.
Yeah. 1958.
My guess is Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny was everywhere around that time. When I think of Pez, I think of Looney Tunes. So I would say they probably kept up with the trend.
Yeah, that makes sense. Although everything about Popeye was eating the spinach and all the taking in the food. So that could make sense too. But Looney Tunes is so big. I'll go with Bugs Bunny with you.
That is not right. It was Popeye.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry, Zach.
Should we give him a half a point for knowing that?
But no. They didn't get it right.
No.
All right.
We made our choice.
Okay. No one out of two. Marshall says no. All right. So, yes, Popeye was the first licensed Pez in 1958. So, Pez came to the U.S. Pez started in Europe. But it came to the U.S. in 1952, and in 1957, Pez added three-dimensional heads on the top of the Pez dispensers. The Halloween witch that is very iconic on the Pez dispenser was the first traditional head in 1957, while Popeye adds to the variety as the first licensed character in 1958. And that information is all from the Pez website, so it should be correct.
Well, now I know.
There you go. A little Pez history. Question 7 for kids. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Kids, question 7. This is multiple choice. Lego was invented in which country in 1932? A, Denmark. B, Egypt. C, Australia. Or D, Brazil.
We thought Savannah was so good at knowing where gummy bears came from in our last episode that maybe you guys would know where Legos came from. Denmark, Egypt, Australia, or Brazil? What do you think?
Savannah, do you know? We just came back literally today from Legoland.
That's right.
Yeah, we didn't walk through the history exhibit.
Shame on you, Mike. Shame on you.
There is also a documentary about this one, but we haven't made our kids watch it.
And you're never going
to. Oh, yeah. See, I need to force her to watch
it. Well, we're a big fan of Lego Masters. Will Arnett and the Lego Masters, big fans. But
oh, yes, we watch that. We do watch Lego Masters.
And they do have, I think, some experts of Lego, and I believe they're from this country on that show.
Or I think work out of there at least.
Or at least work from there. Yes, that's true. Do you guys think you would know?
Do you have a guess, Savannah?
You want to guess, Elena?
I'm going to guess Brazil.
You're going to guess Brazil?
I really don't know.
Savannah?
I don't know.
It is? Marsh, you want to tell him?
It is A, Denmark.
Yes, I knew the answer, but I wasn't going to help the kids because I think they probably will beat us.
That's right. We want to win.
I'm oddly competitive when it comes to winning this game.
That's okay. It's okay to be competitive. So Lego is an abbreviation of two Danish words, and I do not speak Danish, but they're spelled L-E-G-G-O-D-T, meaning play well. So Lego is an abbreviation for play well in Danish. And this is from their website. It says, it's our name and it's our ideal. It was founded in 1932 by, I'm going to butcher this again, Ole Kirk Christiansen, and it's passed down to killed Kirk Christiansen, a grandchild of the former founder. So Lego is a very Danish company.
Now we get to go watch the documentary.
Maybe without our children.
Yes.
Okay, another history throwback question, but this is from the 80s, so you might know this. Which stuffed dolls were mass-produced for the first time in 1982, Zach, the year you and I were born, by Colco? But they were first created by Xavier Roberts, who called his dolls the Little People. Which stuffed doll?
So there is a place in that we driven past in Georgia that is, I believe, like where these originated from. And that would be the Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yes,
that was my guess as well.
Correct. That's correct. Cleveland, Georgia, maybe.
Yes.
Yes.
Cleveland, Georgia. And the hospital is still there.
Yes.
And it is now a museum.
Yes.
And it is huge. And we have driven past it a couple of times, but not gone in.
Xavier Roberts combined his quilting skills he had learned from his mother with the art of needle molding to create handmade dolls he called the Little People. They were not for sale, but the buyers would pay an adoption fee. As with Cabbage Patch Kids, each creation had its own name and birth certificate. He first sold these at arts and craft shows and then later at Babyland General Hospital, an old medical clinic that he and his friends turned into a converted toy store in Cleveland, Georgia. So you've been there, Mike, or you've driven by it.
We have driven by it, and it is, it's just a big, giant building that you wouldn't realize is the Cabbage Patch adoption hospital, and it has been there and is now kind of more of like a museum.
So they were going to market it as the Little People, but Fisher Price owned that name because they had those Little People toys. So Colco changed it to the Cabbage Patch Kids. Mm. There you go. All right, question 8.
Okay. Which Sesame Street character had a giggling doll that was the hottest and hardest to find toy that sold up to $1,500 during the Christmas season in 1996.
Do you know, Elena?
Well, my guess is Elmo, because he's the main character. But,
what do you think, Savannah?
Yeah, I think it's Elmo.
Do you know the name of that Elmo doll?
Tickle Me Elmo.
Yes, Savannah is good at these toy questions. She is rocking it. Tickle Me Elmo. Do you have a Tickle Me Elmo?
I believe you do have one.
And I think that was the first real viral Christmas toy. That's the first year in our life I remember a toy just taking off like crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were hard to find.
1996. So there was a supply of 400,000 Tickle Me Elmos. But what happened is on the Rosie O'Donnell show, she had a spot that was the surprise plug. And she plugged the Tickle Me Elmo and it went nuts. And people just all wanted a Tickle Me Elmo. And people just could not find them. I remember this. I remember this happening.
Me too. It was huge. And Elmo took off after that too. Elena says Elmo was the main. I don't think Elmo was the main character at that time.
Elmo wasn't on Sesame Street at all until the 90s.
Really?
Yeah. Elmo wasn't even around during those early 70s, 80s Sesame Streets. I didn't have Elmo when I was a kid.
No. And in 96, it was. I think Elmo was a small side character until that toy.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You're right. Yeah, now he's own segment. Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah, Elmo's World, Mr. Noodle. Okay, question 8 for parents. Zach and Mike, which popular line of Hasbro action toys were inspired in part by a toy created by Tonka named GoBots in the early 80s, but then sold so successfully that they quickly edged out the GoBots on the market that Tonka discontinued GoBots by 1987? So these toys overtook GoBots and now are very, very popular.
I hear Tonka, and I think of the Tonka trucks and GoBots, so it's got to be the Transformers.
Yes, that would be my guess. Yeah, Transformers.
Yes, that is 100% right.
Zach, Mike, did you guys have Transformers as a kid?
Absolutely, piles of them.
I did, yes. I had a lot of, it was a little bit before my time, but I definitely had one or two and had friends who had tons of them. Who were like a couple of friends were a little bit older than.
Yeah. Marsh, you have the version of Transformers. You had all of the rescue bots.
Yes. Wait, aren't they the same thing?
They're like a spin-off.
Yeah, they're Transformers. Modern evolution, I think, of. But you still had Optimus Prime. Wasn't that the character in Rescue Bots?
He's like the leader.
Yeah, so it's the same company, the same series.
But he just like made new Transformers.
I had a spinoff as well called Beast Wars. They would turn into animals.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So Beast Wars was more my
right. Job.
And rescue bots were like police car and helicopter and
fire truck, all those kind of things.
Well, they were a ripoff of GoBots, and then they edged GoBots out, and now no one knows anything about GoBots. Question 9 for kids. Okay, this one is a little bit scientific.
Which toy has unique physical qualities that allow for it to be able to bounce, break when thrown against a hard surface, hold its shape when hit with a hammer, and also flow like a liquid?
What toy can do all of those things? Bounce, break when thrown against a hard surface, hold its shape when hit with a hammer, but also it can flow like a liquid.
I'm going to guess Oobleck.
Silly Putty?
Silly Putty.
Yeah, Savannah, that's right.
Yeah. I think Silly Putty is the toy version of Oobleck.
What's Oobleck?
It's kind of like a type of slime, but like when you hit it hard, it's a solid, but when you like sink your hand into it, it's a liquid.
Oobleck is cornstarch and water, and it's a really fun like home science experiment that does exactly that.
That's what you guys call cornstarch and water, because that comes from Dr. Seuss's Bartholomew and the Oobleck. That's why I think teachers are calling it Oobleck.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We just knew it as cornstarch and water.
We have a place in Orlando called the Crayola Experience, and we go there a lot, and they have a show called The Silly Show, which is all about silly putty.
Savannah knows a lot about toys.
Yeah, we live in the toy capital of the world.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Little side places like Legoland, Crayola, it's all here.
So during World War II, the government asked chemists to search for a synthetic rubber substitute. One scientist, Dr. James Wright, the man who's most commonly credited for silly putty, came close. And in 1943, the chemical engineer for General Electric added a little bit of boric acid to silicon oil, and he noticed that the compound polymerized to form a resilient, flexible material that was almost like rubber, but the substance tended to melt and it couldn't hold its shape. It was marketed in an egg when it was first released because it hit the markets around Easter time. And it's in the Smithsonian, it's been to space on the Apollo 8, and it's used as a grip enhancer in football, and it's used to make molds of animal paw prints at zoos. Silly putty is super fascinating, and it is banned from my home. No silly putty here.
Better than slime.
And slime is also banned. Parents, question 9. Okay, these are getting harder. Harder questions. What very popular toy dates back to 500 BC, but was made popular in the U.S. when Donald F. Duncan mass marketed a plastic version in 1955?
I don't even know where to start with that, Mike.
I do. I know this. That would be the yo-yo.
Yes. Oh, the Duncan part. Yes, I should have caught that.
There you go. The yo-yo. So it dates back to 500 BC in China, Philippines, Greece, and Egypt. So lots of places had some sort of version of the yo-yo. But in 1955, it became a national craze when Donald F. Duncan made a plastic version. That's it. That's all I got about the yo-yo. Last question.
Okay, kids, question 10. How many rotating cubes are found on a standard Rubik's Cube? A, 18, B, 27, C, 34, or D, 44?
Well, I know there are, on a traditional Rubik's Cube, there are 9 on each side.
But some of them double.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So how many do you think are on the Rubik's Cube itself? 18, 27, 34, or 44? Are you doing the math in your head?
So you knew there were 9 on one side. So how many rows of those are there?
Well, the closest thing to 24, which was my guess, is 27. So 27.
Yeah, that is right. Good guess.
Doing that mental math. I know when I first looked this up, I was like, okay, so if this one is on this side and then this one's on this side, how many would that be? 27 is correct.
Yeah, you got 9 across the top and then it's 3 deep of 9. And I've never solved one in my life.
Okay, last question for Zach and Mike. What is the name of G.I. Joe's British alter ego? So G.I. Joe is marketed in the United Kingdom under a different name. What is that name?
Oh, no, I was hoping for multiple choice.
I know, me too.
It's the last question. You don't get multiple choice.
Oh, this might be the game right here. G.I. Joe in... So I know they call U.S. military men, the GIs, and they call them Joe. So I'm trying to think what the British counterpart to that name would be in real life.
Do you want a little bit of a hint?
Yes, please.
So I don't know how much of a hint this is going to give you, but in the UK, they are less interested in marketing this for military and more interested in marketing this for like adventure and backpacking and hiking
really?
And such. Yes.
The adventure Jim.
Adventure Jim? No.
It is Action Man.
Yes, Action Man is the British counterpart to G.I. Joe. And he's not as military involved. He's more outdoorsy and doing cool adventure-y things.
Nice. I want to be Action Man.
Yeah, Action Man is actually a pretty cool name. All right, so that is the end of our questions. Zach, what is our final score?
Well, after a last-second comeback, parents, 11 points. Team Kids, 12 points. Team Kids win.
So close. She got me.
That was really, really close.
I think Savannah carried this team. I don't think I would have done very well by myself.
Savannah, I think, was the star of the toy episode. Way to go, Savannah. Nice job, everyone. That's pretty good. 11 points for parents, 12 points for kids. I think you guys know your toys pretty well.
Pretty good.
So I'm wondering how everyone did at home. Count up your points and see who won on your end. And I hope everyone has wonderful winter holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. Chinese New Year has toys involved, right, kids? You guys know a lot about Chinese New Year.
Yeah, it does.
Yep.
So whichever holiday you're giving toys for, I hope you have a wonderful season of toy giving and celebrating. And we will see you next year.
Thank you guys for having us on. Happy holidays.
January of 2023. See you then.
Bye.